Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
It is Black Maternal Health Week. And although that ends today, the stories of Black moms not being able to go home with their babies, the stories of Black moms having to fight to be heard, to be understood, to be appreciated, does not end. The fight just begins. There are way too many moms, especially our Black moms, who don't get a fighting chance. You hear about these stories all the time. We've been seeing them pop up in movies. The stories are real. The biases, based upon racial biases, are absolutely gut-wrenching and real. For those who say, well, why are we having it called Black Maternal Health Week and not just Maternal Health Week, meaning all moms should be safe? And you are 1,000% correct. Every mama deserves to be safe. Every mama deserves to be heard. But let's keep it real. How often does that actually happen? If it did, we wouldn't even need Black Maternal Health Week. But here we are. I'm going to share my own personal story. I'm going to share the story of my own births. Now, nothing salacious is in the story. But the problem is that I shouldn't have a story to tell. But I am not the only mother who has ever experienced being in their birthing room or their postpartum care and expressing yourself to your doctor only to be held and listened, or not even heard, I should say, not even listened to and not heard. How many times has this happened? Ask your Black mother friends. They'll tell you. A lot of doctors assume that if I say I'm in pain, it means that I'm on drugs, and so give me more drugs. I had 3 C-sections for my 3 beautiful babies. Do you know every time that you have a C-section, there is scar tissue? And the doctor spent a lot of time going through that scar tissue in order to bring that beautiful baby to life. I had 3 scar tissues, of course, but yes, 3 C-sections. And with each C-section, of course, scar tissue was there. I was so paranoid that one of the doctors or nurses would assume that I would be taking drugs only because that is the norm for a lot of Black mothers, that I endured the most excruciating pain taking only Tylenol when I had had 3 C-sections, which is a major surgery. I knew the biases before I even went into the hospital. Why is that? Well, it starts in medical school. Yes, that is correct. There is it's a bias that begins in medical school. You go to medical school and they teach you about certain bedside manners. Well, a lot of doctors are being taught that the bedside manners when it comes to people of color, specifically Black people in general, but specifically Black women, is that, again, we will falsify stuff to get free medical stuff, such as let's get more drugs. Let's try to take home more medical products. Let's try to do all these different things. And within that causes doctors, when they go into the room who have not been properly trained, to go and discover that they are putting their patients at risk. It doesn't change just because you're bringing a cute little baby into the world. They don't all of a sudden open up their eyes and become all of a sudden inherently better just because there's a baby involved. There are 50 states in the United States of America, but only 13 states and 26 hospitals are considered to have high level of care specifically for Black women. 26 hospitals. Do you know how many hospitals there's in one state, let alone 26 and 13 states? Think about all of the countless moms, Black mothers specific, who don't get this quote unquote high level of care. No one is seen to making sure they're good. When their blood pressure spikes in the middle of delivery, no one's truly batting an eye. They do the basic care and they send that mom on her way. How many times have you heard stories where women have said they are feeling this enormous amount of pain, but when they go to express that pain, they are left upon deaf ears? Christine Fields from New York City passed away during childbirth in New York City. This was a recent story. Christine is a lot of mothers. And in New York City, Black women are nine times more than any other woman giving birth. How sad is that? This is in New York. I'm in Philadelphia. That's in New York. And what about Shanice Wilson? She passed away and she was a Black woman, and it was 2 days. She was not only a Black woman, but she was also a physician herself. Or Tori Bowie, who was a Olympic track star, who again died and through complications of childbirth. And then there's April Valentine, who passed away as well, once again, through complications of childbirth. And what about Kira Johnson? Does her name ring a bell? She is the daughter or the daughter-in-law to Judge Glenda Hatchett. She never came home after giving birth to her child. I ask, these are just an extremely small number of beautiful Black women who had the joy of preparing for their child. They carried this baby for 9 months. Their families probably had these beautiful baby showers. They got their rooms all ready. They did all the things that new mothers do when they're preparing for their child to come home from that hospital, and they didn't get a chance. Or they came home and they passed away days later. Why is this okay? It's actually not. But here we are at Black Maternal Health Week, and we're still having to have to give an answer as to why we call it Black Maternal Health Week. Could it be that we as Black women are dying at extremely large volumes of numbers against other people? Because that is what's happening. Every time I see one of my Black mothers that are about to have a baby, I tell them everything I can so they can make sure that they have somebody that is there to advocate for them. Somebody that speaks for them in their health, that if they say something is wrong, I don't care if their foot itches, speak up. But we need the doctors to listen. See, we were all born with 2 ears and 1 mouth. We're supposed to listen more and talk less, but we don't do that. So here we are, trying to call a rally to get everybody to understand that this is not just a Black issue for Black mamas, although it affects Black mamas. We need all the mamas. We need all the people to scream it out loud. This should not be. Everybody should be able to have proper medical care. We are the richest country in the world, or we're presumably, right? We have all this technology, right? At this point, we're going to have robots delivering our babies, but we can't get a mother to go home safely at alarming rates than our counterparts. Tell me why. Oftentimes we're told that we should get Black doctors because Black doctors know far too well what it's like to be a Black mom. And so they should have enough empathy and care to come together to make sure that we as Black mothers are taken care of. But I bear to say that's not always the case. And let's go to Mary to Medicine. She may be just one doctor, but she could be representative of other doctors who may do the same. This Black woman doctor gets on and makes a comment about the disparaging comments about Black maternal health and the Black maternal health when it comes to Black women being too much and complaining too much and doing too much. Yet when everything came down to it, she got called out for her bad behavior, her bad choice of words, and being a doctor. Honestly, I'm surprised her license didn't get taken. Here's the thing. We are all deserving to come home. We're all deserving to go into hospitals and have our babies and bring them home and experience the joy of raising our children. So let me tell you about my story. I have a girl, a boy, and a girl. When I had my first daughter, I kept telling the doctors that I was feeling like I was going to the bathroom so much and it was just so many things that were happening. Lo and behold, I end up having preeclampsia. My doctor would say to me, oh, we don't need to even test your urine. You're fine. If you don't know, sometimes testing urine, if there's an extreme levels of protein,
And guess what? Black women are 60% more liable to get preeclampsia than white women. Go figure. So my doctor was like, we don't need to check it. Fast forward, I start to go into early, early labor, and they start do everything they can possibly can to stop the labor. And once they get me to the point where they felt like they had stopped it, they go to check my urine and the protein is out of pocket. Other things that took place was I started having high blood pressure. So they decided against trying to stop the labor. They said, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to give you some medicine to try to make sure that the baby's lungs develop a little quicker. And then we're going to go ahead and just try to see if we can get her out. And with these are the complications that could happen. My mother was my biggest advocate at the time. My mother came to me with me to the hospital. And as she got to the hospital, she started to see that my skin was beginning to darken because my blood pressure was rising and rising and rising. And as she began to tell the doctors, you know what they said? We'll be by to check her. Well, my mother got tired of that. And being the great advocate that she was, she said, listen here, you're going to get up and you're going to check her now. Thank God they did. I was literally at a point where I was going to have a full-fledged seizure and didn't even know it. I was in so much pain, so uncomfortable. And that's when I experienced the first time of having to have somebody be very vigilant and diligent in making sure that they spoke up for me. When I went to have my son, I didn't really have any too many complications. It was seemingly a good pregnancy and delivery was fine. Everything seemed fine. I went to have my third daughter, and about 5 months into my pregnancy, discovered that I had a blood clot in my brain, the left side of my brain to be exact. I discovered that because I began to have these horrible, horrible headaches. Some women will develop blood clots in the middle of their pregnancy. I just so happened to have it in my brain. Some women develop in their legs, and however the case may be. Mine was in my brain. So I began to go on Lovenox treatment, where I had to be tested several times a week to make sure that I was in level. And level means sometimes they would have to increase the Lovenox. Sometimes they would have to decrease it. But regardless, I was on it, and I had to give myself a shot 2 times in my abdomen. Not a fun time. So as I'm reeling in this situation, dealing with the situation, because medically they can't go in, there's nothing they can do to go in, they're not going to do any kind of crazy surgery, they just have to let it go, praying to God I did not have any other complications from that. So when it came time to deliver, I already had 2 C-sections, so now I'm going to have the third, no doubt about it. So they said, we need to schedule this baby. I knew exactly when my baby was going to be due, February the 17th. And so they scheduled the surgery. They knew we were going to have the C-section. I had a team. I had the most massive amount of people in that team, in that room, because I'm dealing with neurological issues. I'm having this blood clot in my brain. I have this baby's coming out. And I cannot have a situation where they need to get in and stop the bleeding as quick as possible because I am off my Lovenox. I had to come off of it 12 hours before I gave birth. And they had to have it timed to the T. I go in, I have this baby, and not even 30 minutes after having my child, I start to experience this excruciating pain. I'll never forget the doctor that was in the room, that particular doctor. I can't remember her name, but God bless her wherever she is. That particular doctor was so in tuned. She looked at me, saw the pain, and she didn't even hesitate. She shot some type of something in my leg. She put on a glove. She reached in and pulled out a blood clot that was about as big as my hand. I was flabbergasted. She put everybody out the room outside of the medical people, and she did what she had to do. Thinking that I was in the clear, they got me stable. I was able to go back and experience the joy of having my final child. I knew that was my final one because I had told him to tie them tubes up while they was in there. I wouldn't have no more. Let's fast forward to the next day. I go and get a shower. You know, if you have a C-section, they want you up and moving. I go, I have the shower. And while I'm in the shower, I discover that I'm having the same exact pain that I had on the bed I'm having standing up. But before I can do anything, I pull on the string in the hospital in the bathroom. And you know, when you're in the hospital, the bathroom, when you pull that string, the nurses are ASAP in there. But by the time they got into the room, a blood clot had fallen out of my body that was, again, the same size as my hand. They get me, they stabilize me. I'm thinking, my God, this is crazy. I'm good. I'm finally stable. This should be the last of this. Thank you, Lord. I get to be discharged the next day. I go home, and my children, I have 2 kids at home. So this third child is home. Everybody's excited. My beautiful son is excited to see me. He had missed me. He wanted to snuggle with me. He's not aware that I just had a C-section. He's not aware of the care that you need to be and slow it down. Before my husband can grab him, my son had jumped onto me and onto my stomach. Did I remind you I had a C-section? Third one to be exact. So you can already imagine the pain that I was in. You can already imagine how I was feeling at that moment. And so I holler out in pain. My husband takes the newborn baby. He gets my son and calms him down because as a toddler, he feels that he has hurt me and he does, but we don't want him to feel anything. So we go and comfort him. And as a mom, I'm comforting him beyond my pain because that's what mamas do. So I said to my husband, I need you to take me upstairs. I'm not feeling well. Bring the baby with you. Get me upstairs. We're laying down. As I'm getting ready to lay down, I begin to pass out. And my husband knew immediately he had to call 911. And as he does, there's a set of firefighters that come into the room. Now, these firefighters, you know, side note, fine. Okay? They pick me up, this one guy in particular, and I'm in and out. And I'm like, oh, you're so cute, you know. And again, I'm in and out. My husband was just laughing. He thought it was hilarious. And so they get me on the ambulance. Had to be the longest ambulance ride ever. And I get to the hospital. Here, they get to the hospital. They're like, we have to immediately, they know my chart. They know everything that's happening. And they said, we have to get x-rays to see how much blood is pooling into her stomach. Because remember, I just had a C-section. Well, they go and they do the CAT scan. But let's talk about how I'm on the table. I'm getting ready to get a CAT scan. And the lady says, well, why can't you just get up? Or you can't make it from here to there? Mind you, I don't even know how much blood that I have lost. But I've lost quite an amount of blood. Okay? And this lady is telling me, why can't you get up? And she's laughing, kikiing with the other lady as she says, yeah, you know how they do. They never want to do anything. You know, she's probably here just so she can get some more drugs. Again, the very same biases I knew when I had my first child. I come back to the room and I'm telling my husband what's happening. And he calls one of my doctor friends. Now, it's crazy. Not everybody has a doctor friend that they can call. And she says, I'm going to do something, but I'm going in there. I'm going to check a couple things. And she went and she got into what she needs to get into. And that's all we need to say. And she looked at the chart. She said, this is not good. And she said, this is what I'm going to tell you to say. Now, whatever word she gave to him to say, she said, this is going to be what you need to say in order to save your wife's life. Because at this point, if they don't act and move, you're going to lose her. He was able to say what needs to be said. Everybody don't have that. I thought about what would have happened if I, one, didn't go to the hospital because I wanted to bear and grin and bear that pain. Number two, after getting there, what if I would have gotten up and walked? What if something fiery worse would have happened just because I'm already in harm's way? And did we forget? I'm still on Lovenox. I'm back on the Lovenox. I can't just have random blood coming out. I can't have that. Okay? Bleeding out. I had to go into the ICU where I stayed for over a week. I remember crying for almost 24 hours. And I kept saying, Lord, please just get me home to my kids. Please get me home to my children. Because I kept thinking, what if I don't make it home? Now, you might say, like those doctors say, she's just being dramatic. But I had lost so much blood. I had so much more on the line, and having to keep reiterating the same stories to get somebody to pay attention to hear. Everybody don't have a doctor friend that they can call. Some people are left out there with nobody to call that's going to emphasize the fact that there is help that is needed. And why should that even be? It was years later, and Kevin Hart made this movie called Fatherhood, or he was in the movie Fatherhood. And if you've seen Fatherhood, you know that the mother of his child does not make it. It was probably not the first time I had seen that movie as far as seeing a movie like that, but it's different when you have a child. See, I've seen movies where mothers pass away and I never really connected it. But when I seen the movie Fatherhood, I sat in my living room bawling, crying. Because that could have been my story. Why? Because mothers, black mothers specifically, are not heard. Simply heard. How crazy? How crazy is that? Not even simply heard. I am asking, every person, you don't even have to be a mom. I'm not asking you to be a mom. I'm saying every person that knows that this is the reality. Even if you don't know, you need to be making sure you speak for everybody, because we need other people speaking. See, as a Black mother who's had her life in the wing, I know what it's like. I understand what that's like. I thank God for my kids every day, because my life without them, or them without me, would have been tumultuous. I couldn't even imagine my kids living this life without me. Or the hurt and pain that happens. But you know what? There are families who deal with this every day. There are men who are having to raise their children because their wife or the mother of their child is gone. They're gone because we can't take 5 seconds, 5 extra minutes to hear what a patient is saying and explore. If a person is saying they're feeling like there's chest pain, if they're feeling like there's some type of pain, it feels abnormal to them, check it. They're telling you, I don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong with my body. And you see their blood pressure going up. Make it in an emergency situation. Do all the things. Save a mother's life. You don't just take away a mother from a husband, or a mother from their family, or a sister or an aunt. You take a mother from their child. You end that child's life. Their life will never be the same for them. Life will never be the same for the people who are left behind. Lives don't have to be this tattered just because we don't want to listen to someone say, I don't feel okay. I'm not okay. You know, they tell us in mental health, right? It's okay to not be okay. But if I tell you that I'm not okay, I don't need you just to glance over it. I need you to investigate. I need you to ask questions. I need you to come and see about me. And that's all Black mamas want to do. They want you to come and see about them. They want to make it home. They want to be able to hold their baby safely. I never imagined, first of all, even having kids, but then God forbid, I never imagined having C-sections. I honestly tried to VBAC after the first one because I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to go through that pain because it's a risk. Everything comes with the risk. And we know that there are situations that can't be stopped. But so many mothers have said simply listening to them could have allowed them to be here. When those people, those mothers, those families get those autopsies and they look and see where there was negligence, yeah, we can sue the hospitals, we can sue the doctor, but that's not going to bring the mamas back. That's not going to make those mothers and those families whole. It's not. So I'm here advocating and I'm saying, please listen, please hear, please do your work, please do your job, please go above and beyond. Let's get that mother home. Let's make sure she can raise her babies. Let's make sure that those families don't have to be broken. Like so many of the mothers that I mentioned and so many more that we don't even know. Please do not think that this is just for the few that we hear about in stories. There's stories that never get told. There's news reporters that never get to pick up some of their stories. There's times when people don't get to hear about their names, but their families know them and they know them well. So let's do what we can to get these mothers safely home, to get these mothers safely protected. Because every time I think about my own personal story, it brings tears all the way to my eyes. No mother should have to endure just not being understood, not being heard, being let to the side. 52% of maternal death happen 1 year after the baby is here. And this is why many mothers are now opting to have a doula, specifically Black doulas. Most women don't even realize the benefits of having a doula. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of Black moms don't even realize the benefits of having a doula. We're told that Black doulas are expensive, that we cannot afford one, and that we don't need one. We're also grown up to understand that these are things that only white women are supposed to experience. It is things through TikTok and other social media platforms where we're understanding the benefits even more greater than just simply having someone in a doctor's office explain to us about doulas. And FYI, many doctors don't say that because they don't want you necessarily to have a doula. They want you to use their services, and 9 times out of 10, their services only. The benefits of having a doula,
such as having fewer interventions, having someone that's going to help you through the birthing process, before the birthing process, and that postpartum process, which is sometimes the most important process after we've gotten the baby here safely. today, I want you to take the time to go into my the show notes, and I want you to take the time to look at the resources that are listed there. There are many resources that I feel that can be beneficial to helping you to get a better understanding of the problem, how we can have a solution, and if you know of a Black mom that needs your support, that needs support, period, I want you to get, make sure that they get and listen to this episode. I want you to make sure they get to the resources. And I wish every mom, especially our Black moms, a happy and healthy delivery and postpartum care.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.